And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us, everybody. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. And we're glad you could join us down here, especially because the mainstream just seems to have lost its fucking mind in this election cycle and just has gone off the goddamn rails in terms of what it allows the political figures in this country to get away with and what fucking insane, like hysteria that the population of this country, especially the men of this country, the bigots in this country have been whipped into, and how quickly they were whipped into a fucking frenzy. And today on this podcast, we're going to be dealing with some of the issues that are on the forefront, or that should be on the forefront of trying to combat this fucking insane misogynistic culture that we have just grown to accept, and that has grown out of even more out of control in the last fucking couple of weeks. In fact, we're going to be talking about a zine that's been put out here in New York City that's on the forefront of what I think is a battle line to combat these misogynistic tendencies that have been fanned by Trump and some of the more right-wing elements in this country. Planet Bitch Squad, which is the name of a zine put out by a collective of women here in New York City. Emily and Alyssa, two members of the incredible collective that creates Planet Bitch Scene Zine, are here on the episode this week to talk about the zine that they created, the process they've gone through to create it. Because honestly, I think this is one of the best zines, if not the best zine I have ever read. Thematically, in terms of literature, in terms of every element, artistic integrity, the fact that it's on point politically and consciously, and it's also entertaining and fun to read. On every front, I just think that this is a fantastic zine and deserves all the positive press it can give, But we're going to talk about the zine. We're going to talk about how it's created. We're going to talk about the collective and the contributors and how all of the processes to go about it, because I'm fascinated by how such an incredible zine gets made. I just don't see such high quality political zines and pamphlets being put out, and I think this is a step above the rest, really a model for us all to live up to in terms of how to construct an artistically interesting and politically insightful zine. So I want to talk about that in the first part of the episode, is how an underground zine gets produced like this, and how we can all like look to it to inspire us to make an equally quality product that can hopefully incite people and also give insight to people. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about on this show. And on the second part of the episode, we're actually going to get into some of the content of what is inside that first zine. That first zine deals with what is commonly called catcalling, street harassment, although I don't really understand that term catcalling. It doesn't really seem like it's a really conscious good thing to talk about in those terms. But street harassment, we're going to talk about all of the heavy issues that are part of the mainstream that men, including myself, we don't really pay attention to on a given day, but over 51% of the population is forced to endure this constant street harassment, and it disempowers people, and it brings a culture of fear into women's daily lives. And the zine does a great job of breaking these issues down and making them into manageable issues that we can really see in an artistically drawn out way, and they do a fantastic job. But it's part of the mainstream. Really, I really applaud these women for making the zine, because it does what I think that the goal of Dispatches is every day. Take things that are going on in the mainstream and bring them down into the underground and see how we can handle these things. And that's what we're going to do in the second part of the episode, is talk about the issues related to the substance, to the substantial elements of what this zine really represents, especially in terms of the first issue itself, street harassment. We have a bunch of stories we're going to go into. I have some particular questions that I have about how we can effectively combat this. And, you know, it's just it's really a tough issue and super specific. I know it's not like, ooh, we're not going to be talking about feminist theory here. We're going to be talking about a really specific on the ground thing, something very tangible, and how Planet Bitch Squad can help us work through this issue and hopefully find a way we can deal with it together. That's the whole point. So again, I want to thank Alyssa and Emily for getting down with us today, taking time out of their schedules to come over to our studio and do this show. It was a wonderful opportunity for me to talk about some things that I think are important with people who know better than I do. So I really appreciate the opportunity that they gave me and willing to come back. I hope they'll come back very soon. You all can find out more about Planet Bitch Squad. The best way to do that is by hitting them up on Instagram at Bitch Squad Zine. That's, you know how to spell bitch, motherfuckers. You've been spelling that shit your entire lives. Bitch Squad, SQUADZINE, at Bitch Squad Zine. They're also on Facebook, Planet BS Zine. And you can email them. I know they're interested in submissions. And you can do that through Twitter, through Instagram and Twitter too. But you can email them at planetbszine@gmail.com. So there's a bunch of ways to get in touch with them. They have told me that Instagram is the best way to do that. So if you want to do anything and you have Instagram, that's the best way to holler at these folks. So thank you so much, Emily. Thank you so much, Alyssa. I really appreciate y'all making time to fucking do this episode with me, and I hope you all are willing to come back again very soon and do some more shit over here at Dispatches from the Underground. Before we get to the rest of the episode, a couple other thank yous. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for including Dispatches from the Underground on their incredible list of programming. You can hear us every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. on Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. Huge thanks to Tommy Unit. Plays us right after his incredible show, Tommy Unit Live. Just a quick note that I wanted to add. Right now, as you listen to this podcast, I am in Cleveland, Ohio at the Republican National Convention protesting with a bunch of other incredible people trying to bring attention to the fact that not everyone in this fucking piece of shit country is supportive of that monster and his misogynistic and fucked up ideas that he's presenting in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. I feel it is important to be there. I feel it's important to represent. I feel it's important that we try to shut down his voice as much as possible and hopefully take at least a little bit of the credibility that he has, the ridiculous that he still has credibility, but a little bit of the shine away from his attention and bring it to the fact that we don't have to go along with the agenda that he's putting forward, and we sure as fuck don't have to let his microphone be heard everywhere. We have voices, and it's time to shout his motherfucking dumbass voice down. So we're coming at you from the RNC. Hopefully we'll have some good coverage of it. Check out at Joey Steele NYC. I'm going to post some pictures from protests and things we have going on in the RNC in Cleveland, the RNC protests at Cleveland. Big quick shout out to Amanda Lee and Jackie Green, who are doing some incredible work against the RNC and against the really backward shit that's being held down in Cleveland. They're doing tireless effort. They're committed to tireless effort out there, and they're two of the best people I've ever met, and I'm super happy that they have come together in some ways and are still holding it down in Cleveland, which is not an easy place to hold it down in. So Jackie and Amanda, I will see you soon as this podcast is airing. Hopefully we can get a little time to do a little interview with each other too, but I'm sure it's going to be super busy in the trenches. Srima, as you listen to this podcast on Wednesday, the 20th of July, Srima, my band, is going to be playing a free show at Now That's Class during the Republican National Convention. If anyone is looking for a little reprieve in the trenches out there, come over to the Now That's Class, relax a little bit, have a good time, then we'll go back to protesting the motherfuckers as soon as that's done. And thank you all for tuning in every single week. I really do appreciate it. And I know we talk about it a lot on the show, but to me, punk and underground is not just about music. It really is about community. And it's been really tough the last few weeks. We just did a benefit last week for Dan Klein, who passed away. He was an incredible singer of the Frighteners. The Frighteners album is out, by the way. You can go to their Bandcamp page and check that out. But, you know, we lost Dan, and he was an incredible part of my life and an incredible inspiration. And then this week, Eric Peterson of Mischief Brew passed away, and I can't think of a more honorable, kind-hearted, and giving soul that's part of our scene. He just endlessly gave us incredible music, gave us incredible shows, gave us incredible performances, gave us his whole heart every time he performed. Watching him perform was truly magical, and my heart goes out to him and his memory and his lovely wife, Denise Efistola, and I just recently had a chance to really get to know these folks a little bit better and through the Leftover Crack Tour, and we spent some time with them, and it just can't believe it's almost, it just doesn't seem real that this is happening to the nicest people in the world. And my heart is broken. And this is, you know, this is these people, Dan and Eric, this is really what punk is all about. And the music is great and everything, and it's nice to have this way to meet each other. But it's the good people that are down to make unique underground tunes that lift our hearts out of bad places that we've been put in and put us in a new place and power each other. These are two of the best that ever did it. And just super sad to see Eric no longer with us. And my heart goes out to Denise and everybody who's been touched by the Mischief Brew tunes and the incredible, wonderful nature of Eric. So it just reminds me of these moments, how important community is and how fragile our community is and how much we depend on each other's music and interactions and life force. And I know I'm like getting a little hippie, but honestly, it just really reminds me of how fragile all of it is. So I really appreciate all the people who listen to Dispatches and all the people who spread the word and all the people who participate in this show. It means a lot to me. And Eric Peterson, you know, we lost another great, great one, and it's, he's not coming back. So all the more reason why we need to step up and try in some tiny way to fill that void that this amazing human being left in this incredible scene and in all of our hearts. And it's a challenge to us all to hopefully do better tomorrow in making this underground world happen. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you everyone for pouring your hearts out. And let's get to the episode and let's get through this and let's talk to Alyssa and Emily about Planet Bitch Squad. Cool. We're going to play some Mischief Brew as we go through this and some other tunes as well. So we'll remember these beautiful people through different parts of the episode. Right now, let's get to Planet Bitch Squad. Get down. Before we get to the rest of the episode, I want to play a tune by Mischief Brew and Eric Peterson. So I've had the privilege of seeing Eric Peterson perform a few times, and the man gave 110% every time. It was just an absolute phenomenal, magical force as he performed. And I remember seeing him perform doing a solo set once at ABC in Rio, and just not, I couldn't believe the energy that this man had to bring a group of people together. It's such a singular experience, and he just forged like a single person out of that entire crowd. I don't know anybody who could do what he did with a guitar and no microphone and just bring people together with these incredibly uplifting sing-along tunes that he created out of nothing and forge a new person out of all of us. And it's a fucking huge loss that he's no longer with us. And here's a tiny way for us to remember him right now. Here is a tune by Eric Peterson. It's Mischief Brew. The Mischief Brew. Get down.
Mr. Officer Great, for all the things you said to me, for all the good that you have ever done. Without you, what would I be? Oh, the gas upon my flames, my love and rage, I'll roll up into one. For every time your gun goes off, a new rebel is born. So when there's 41 bullets, it's 41,000 thorns in your side. We'll take a ride down to Precinct 29, and we'll sing and dance and break the code of silence. Thank you, Governor, to the mayor and the commissioner. Your monster is alive now. She's taken to the streets, crashing through your opera house and tearing at the seats. For all the times you sign your name, someone out there dies. Found a wallet, not a gun, and mother's wiping tears from her eyes. We despise your hollow truths and honest lies. Now you can sing the monster into slumber. Thank you. studying in the shadows of our state. I've seen the bones they try to hide, cutthroat livings on the side, the flood of U.S. bathwater displaced. The funeral march of all the victims of your power war. Rob the right to steal the night, and rebels shall be born forevermore. You're the storm we shall play after it pours, and joy is sure to come after your silence. Joy is sure to come after your silence. Thanks, bastards! Thanks, bastards! Thanks, bastards! Thanks, bastards!
The goods and ran. I took the goods and ran. I took the goods and ran. I took the goods
and ran. What's up, Planet Bitch? I can't even say it. I can't say the words. I can't say Planet Bitch Squad. I feel like uncomfortable when I say it. I don't think I'm supposed to say those words.
That's part of it. No, it's great. We honestly feel like we've reclaimed it to some degree over the past several months to a year. Okay. You know, our whole slogan is not your bitch.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say it, but I feel like in this company, it's okay.
It's cool now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool now. We actually, it's funny that you say that because we went to our first launch party in February and there was somebody who came to kind of ask us some questions for their blog. And he came to the party and he asked somebody there, like, excuse me, are you one of the bitches? He was looking for us. Yeah.
True story.
We all cracked up. It was so awesome.
Were you just like, what the fuck did you call me, motherfucker? And like, I'm just messing with you.
No, I think we were all just kind of like, oh yeah, right here, over here. You can ask us questions.
Like, I sure am.
That's
sure
precious.
I'm one of those.
Oh man, I feel like I just missed some comic gold there, and then opportunity to fucking be like, yeah, I'm here. I can't even do it. I can't even joke. I'm here with my fucking squad. I can't even do it. It makes me sick. I want to throw up when I say it. Okay, so how did the zine start? I'm not gonna ask where the name originated from because I think that Alyssa made it up.
I did not. It was actually given to us by our friend Khalil.
Oh well, that was nice of them to say that about you. That's kind of fucked up, actually.
He has a very endearing way about him, so we kind of welcomed it. The four of us that work on the zine, we are all living in the same neighborhood. We kind of got together at a bar. And he's like, damn, you guys are like bitch squad. And we're just like, fuck yeah, we are.
Yes, we are, actually.
So it was like a nice thing. He wasn't being like, yeah, y'all are some bitches. That's
no, it was
up.
Totally a compliment. Okay. And we had all been talking about how, you know, our zine mate Jackie does illustrations and our other zine mate Jolene is an artist. And they have great aesthetics. And Khalil knew this. And he knows that Alyssa and I are artistic and we're writers as well. And he was just like, y'all need to make a zine.
Well, I guess well done, Khalil, for that encouragement. And
exactly.
Khalil, you made my life endlessly more difficult by giving that name to it. But I appreciate your thought. Anyway. So that's where that's how it all originated. But like, I mean, how does like such artistically interested folks in Brooklyn stay together and still have like hearts and compassion for the world? Because that seems like it would not be so easy to do. I mean, obviously there's a lot of artists in New York City, but this zine I feel like takes that and brings it to a really healthy, good place, which if you've been to like the zine shows here or like been to Zine Fest here, there is none of that. It's not happening. It's like people who are intellectually and artistically masturbating in a zine, and there's no heart to it. How do you all come together and stay together? But even before the zine, how do y'all stay together and do this and think like this?
Well, I don't want to speak for everyone here, but I think the content that we're producing, as I've gotten older, you know, talking about this kind of stuff and talking against the kind of stuff we face every day, it's not really, I don't feel like I have a choice. I feel like I have to say something. I don't know if you...
Yeah, and honestly, because we were friends before the project and we all have just a similar way of thinking about the world and a similar sense of humor, we actually had a lot of material to work with off the bat. We were not in any dearth of subject matter, and we just found the ideas to be flowing at such a rate that it was almost like building off of itself continually week by week as mm-hmm. we met. We would just go off of on a tangent and be like, what about this joke? And then it would turn into a whole comic or like, what about this idea? And then it would turn into like, you know, a whole book review or what have you.
So you have like developmental part. I don't know what like the career term for that is, but you have like idea parties where you come up with the ideas for this. It's not just people, like a lot of other zines would be what people could contribute on their own, what their own thoughts are. You're coming up with the content together for this.
Yes, yeah. Actually, that's kind of one of the reasons that we chose not to put our individual names on pieces in the zine, is because literally everything that you see in an issue had some collaborative, you know, measure to it, where either two of us or three of us or all of us contributed to kind of the ethos behind it and the actual aesthetic that you see on the page. So it's really satisfying.
I think that comes through. Let's step back, and we're going to come back to that. So let's step back and come back to this collaborative effort that you're talking about. So that's our end goal here for now. But let's give people an idea of what this is, okay? Because I think maybe the zine heads out there or folks out there might not have a full understanding of what a zine is or should be and how this is different from that. And I think we're going to go toward the collaborative point, but can you describe how you would describe this zine to folks who've never really read a zine, or like, how would you bring this to them and be like, they know what a book is. Well, mm-hmm. probably, I don't know if my audience all knows what a book is, but a book has words in it. And their paragraphs strung together. Okay, they're figured out. They've read. They can fucking Google it. But how would you explain this to folks who aren't sure what a zine is? Is that an uncomfortable question?
Not uncomfortable. I think it's tough because most of the people that connect with the zine, in some way, already agree with us, and they're already into zines and collecting them and getting to know more. But I mean, hypothetically, if I was talking to a stranger on the street, I might just explain it as. Well, I don't know. How would you?
Well, even explaining, just for example, even explaining the zine to my family, my mother. Okay. Right. So I have to, you know, talk. I'm very close with both of my parents, and I talk with them a lot about the projects that I'm working on. And when the zine came to be, I realized that I had to kind of develop a language for talking with my family members about what I was working on. Mm-hmm. So I kind of described it to them as this collective of women working on a self-published pamphlet, booklet, very DIY project that had our ideas and that welcomed other ideas inside of it, that had art, that had literature, just kind of very broad strokes.
I think thinking of it in terms of a pamphlet is healthy too, because it is as powerful as a pamphlet and entertaining as a zine, and I feel like it covers both those super well. And I don't think a lot of other zines do either acceptably. So the fact that it covers both, I think, is tough for people to understand. You want to say something, Lucy?
Oh, I'm just chilling.
Okay. but I think this idea of like people agreeing with it, I'm not sure where that. Do you think most of the people who pick up this zine are people who already have a tendency to be down with that idea, like the idea of feminism, or I don't know how you all call it?
Yeah, I guess I painted a bleak picture when I said that, but I think as far as our distribution has gone so far, that's kind of what it has been. It's been a launch party where a lot of our friends and loved ones showed up. It's being distributed at one bar right now. We haven't had a ton of time to do outreach otherwise.
But south in South Slope, Brooklyn, Paul and Dee, the owners there, have actually been super supportive. They actually carry the zine and give people discounts on drinks for buying it.
Oh, cool.
So we've restocked it there a couple times. They're super amazing.
That's a really good idea.
And kind of to the point of people maybe already agreeing with us, I do see that because we are small distribution and we have involved friends and acquaintances that we already you know, have some association with to you know, read it and enjoy it. I think one kind of goal of the zine too is giving people tools to talk about maybe some of the things that we cover, and then also inviting them to express themselves too, since we are based on submission and our upcoming issues actually are much more submission based than the current one.
I'm interested. Well, let's I keep jumping back and forth. There's so much I want to talk about. We just don't have enough time. But what was your intention when you first put out the zine, and you weren't really thinking about the audience? You know, maybe wasn't your goal, right? So what did you want people to come out of reading the zine? Like, they'll come out with that. I feel like there's so... This was a zine that had really clear intention to me. Mm-hmm. I felt like to me. And I feel like the collaborative effort really comes through because everything is so thematically tight in the zine. And especially one that has like literature and interviews at the same time in it. Or like, I don't know if those stories are true or not true in the zine. But
all of
them are true.
All yes. true.
Oh my God. All right. Well, we're going to talk about
no
that.
No fiction in here.
But what did you expect people to get out of that? Like whether they agreed with you to start or they didn't agree with you to start. Did you have an intention? Like, did you have a vision of what you wanted people to walk away after reading the zine? What was it?
I think it took a minute for that to gel. I honestly think that we started the zine as a creative outlet for us to even express some of the things that we mm-hmm. encounter as women or as female people on a day-to-day basis. But then even a month or two into trying to plan a first issue and deciding how frequently we would publish and where we would publish and what materials we would use and stuff like that, we already decided that we would do issues by theme that covered a pretty loose either difficulty that women experience or kind of thing that people could speak to in a very specific way. So giving ourselves a sense of direction early on, I think, really helped with that and then really helped us to come to a point where these thematics played into specific goals. So for this one, it's really storytelling based.
Mm-hmm. I think to add to that, a big goal, I think, in the end was to recognize that it's okay to be angry about a lot of shit that is accepted as normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you say more about it? Because it's not really my business to say, but I think one of the saddest things about our culture is that more people aren't encouraged to be angry, and that anger is always associated with masculinity. And I just feel like it's putting down a huge emotion that so many people should really get more in touch with. And I just think it's sad that people can't mm-hmm. be upset about the things that they deal with and oppressive things they see. So maybe that's why I like the zine. I don't know. Maybe that was,
I think it's interesting. You say that you feel like you're not allowed to speak to this because we haven't so much touched on it in this issue, but we certainly intend to touch on the fact that both men and women and whoever, they can be angry about this shit just because it's not necessarily inflicted on them. I mean, this is an all people problem, you know.
But at the same time, it's like not. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say I would like more people to be upset in this world about a gendered issue, because I don't know. Maybe I'm telling people how to think about it. I do want to say that, like, that's mm-hmm. what I want to say. But, like, you know, is it really my place to speak about something that I have no personal experience with? I mean, I have a podcast. I'm doing it anyway. So, I mean, you know, whatever. It's going to happen.
You know, as long as you have a conception of the fact that it is a huge problem for a large group of people, women make up more than half of the world, yet we have to deal with these very real overt aggressions and microaggressions on a day-to-day basis. I can't walk through my neighborhood without having somebody describe my physical appearance to me, and not in a way where they're welcoming conversation, you know, not nice shoes. It'll be like nice ass, and it'll be like, you Jesus. Know, it's just like, it's a very real problem. And I think anybody who's willing to recognize it is more than welcome into the conversation.
Yeah, agree.
We're going to talk about some of these issues on the second part of the episode, where we get into more of the content about this particular issue of the zine. I want to ask one last thing before we stop this segment. I want to talk about the aesthetic of the zine. I want to talk about how you came to have this pretty uniform aesthetic. I mean, you're all artists. I did not actually know that before. But all four of you, Jolene and Jackie
mm-hmm.
and Emily and Alyssa, are all artists. Do you all participate in coming up with what's going to be on any given page, or is it like that just naturally? Because there is this like pretty uniform aesthetic to the whole issue, and I don't know how you describe that. How would you describe this aesthetic? It's punk, but it's more than just that.
I think one very...
I'm not an artist. I don't know. Yeah. I'm Luddite when it comes to art.
I think one very happy accident very early on in planning was that we did decide to go through our first go-round of layouts together.
Layouts.
And yeah.
Well, I don't think anyone does that. I've made zines. I don't think that happens.
It's definitely, you know, it's got a little bit more of an organization factor in that way than you might see in a more traditional zine. But it did enable us to each have our own fingerprint on every single page. Whether that was like literally we would go through a page and, you know, there would be like the interview, which is with our friend Deandra in this first issue, and she's a bike messenger out west. You know, we might be looking at the aesthetic all together, literally sitting at our friend Jackie's apartment around the computer, drinking beers, just hanging out and literally talking about what we thought about the layout. And then one of us would be like, oh, add a spaceship to here, or like, you know, maybe this would look cool if there was some shadowing behind it, and then somebody would take care of it. Or if we wanted to add some illustrations to a page, we would literally sit there and using just ink pens and paper draw little doodles and then scan them in and then place them where we thought would make the most sense to complement our words.
That is so brilliant. And in this age of like so much individual art and not and anti-collaboration, I think it's what makes this so powerful, because I really do think this is one of the most powerful zines I've ever read.
Thank you.
The fact that it's
so
cohesive thematically makes it so easy to read. Like, it feels like there's separate issues being dealt with, but it's smooth from page to page. And the art just makes it like so inviting. Like, you don't want to just put it down. It's like not this heavy pamphlet that's like, you know, the face of some cop killer on front, which is great. Yeah, I love that. But, you know, it's like inviting to want to read it. So well done. The aesthetic is great throughout the episode and throughout the whole thing. And it's not like over, you know, people out there don't know this, but I've been to Zine Fest in LA and in New York, and it's the same terrible zine scene of like tons of art and no content in anything. That's like 99% of all these art zines out there.
What I'll say to that is because I'm honestly with this publication fairly new to the zine world. This is the first one I've ever tried to make with friends myself. It's been super satisfying and awesome. But I did go to a feminist zine fest up at Barnard several months ago. That was a lot of young women, a lot of women in their 20s or even late teens that just kind of had,
cool.
Female identifying people that were showcasing their work and were really, even though some of them were clearly timid and it was their kind of first go-to, so maybe that's why I felt so comfortable. It was awesome to see this kind of younger version of what we are almost, you know, getting its first wings too.
Well, well done. I hope that after a few of these, you seriously consider putting a book together of these, because I think it's so powerful. But that's just my hope of it. But I'll just put that out there.
We have plans.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on to some of the catcalling bullshit. So get down. Let's listen to a tune that Alyssa suggested that we listen to today. This is a tune from a band called Torso. There's a couple. I asked Alyssa to give me a couple bands that she felt like really were on the cutting edge of the best right now. And she gave me a list of a few bands, and this was one of them. And I think that they sounded fantastic, and I'm really proud to play them. You can check them out at torsoxvx.bandcamp.com. Here's Torso. Get down.
Like
one of the things that I appreciated so deeply about this zine was that I felt like the issue of this zine, I know this is just like the issue one, the starting problem, right? But I felt like the issue was really tangible, and it was something that I think a lot of men don't think about on a day-to-day basis. Like, they don't think about how women have to deal with this issue of catcalling. Although I don't really understand that term, catcalling, but they have to deal with street harassment. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a perfect issue to start with. It was super tangible and super, the themes that went through the issue of fear and intimidation and empowerment, I just felt were so seamless and so like simultaneously uplifting and discouraging from people participating in it, but uplifting in the same sense, like, we don't have to put up with it. People don't have to put up with it. People could speak about it. It was perfect. I just want to, before we start talking about the specific street harassment, did you think this topic over another topic that maybe more traditionally might have been, you know, like a feminist focus, like abortion? Like, that's the one that I feel like a lot of people right now in America are like terrified about. Please.
So to be quite honest, the street harassment issue is so pervasive and occurs mm-hmm. so many times a day. I have zero abortions a day, but I have, you know, maybe four or five incidences of street harassment a day mm-hmm. just doing my chores or my errands or walking mm-hmm. my dog or what have you. And it turns into these little things where your brain becomes occupied for the entire 5 to 10 minutes after the encounter. You start thinking about how you could have handled it differently, what that person, should have done differently too, or, you know, how you could have said something to make it not happen as aggressively. And quite honestly, when our group gets together, when myself and Alyssa and Jackie Jolene get together, we bitch about it. We do. We talk about it a lot. We mm-hmm. talk about what happened. We're like, you know, this guy at this red light when we're on our bikes, or that guy on the corner. So it's so pervasive.
I think to go even further, something that I've been thinking about recently is a big issue in American politics or news or whatever is the idea of surveillance, and people are not okay with surveillance. Women are under constant surveillance on the street.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, I really got a question when people cannot recognize how that is detrimental to my day.
Like, imagine if you felt like pairs of eyes were watching you walk down the street, even if they're not saying anything, because somebody staring and not being able to break their stare is still mm-hmm. a microaggression that shows you that they don't really have any regard for whether you're comfortable with that.
And maybe it's, I think this is especially the word privilege. I don't fully understand the word privilege, but I think that's the colloquial term that like everyone has sort of understood essentially is what we're talking about when men don't appreciate or understand this. And I think this is a particularly maybe my ignorance, but this is not something I think about all the time. Like, I don't participate in a scene that happens in pervasively, like, you know, it's not something I see all the time. Mm-hmm. It probably is around me, but I'm just not even like aware of it or thinking about it or recognizing it, because it's not something that I've had to deal with. So, you know, because it's not directed at me personally. So, you know, maybe that was partially why I was so moved by some of the stuff in there. It's just like, geez, I just don't even interact with that. And when I do see it, it's like, what the, you know, I see it so rarely that I'm just like, what the fuck did he just say? Mm-hmm. Did he just fucking say what to her? You know, it just like doesn't, it barely registers to me.
Totally. You know, honestly, I don't even feel like we scratched the surface in this issue with the kind of material that we could have transformed into usable stuff. And that's the positive thing from the zine, is we were able to take things that are pretty negative impacts on our day-to-day lives and actually make them into something that we're vocal about and that is artistically satisfying and that might help somebody else see that they go through, that we go through the same things that they do.
And I think that this particular issue too is powerful, because men, it's like chivalry, right? It's like modern, it's the closest thing I can think of is modern day chivalry. Like, men think that they're doing something good. Like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, like, I'm telling her she's pretty, or like, I'm helping her carry a box because she shouldn't be riding her bike by herself. Or like, there was a woman, this morning I was going to work and I was just thinking about the zine, and there was a woman who was working for the post office, and she was carrying a fucking huge ass box, and two people And the time it took me to drink my coffee and watch the situation go down, two people offered to help her. They weren't being aggressive about it, but it's still like, dude, that's her job. She's got it. She knows how to do this exactly, shit. Like, fucking yeah. dumbass. Like, let her go. Let her fucking do her thing.
Yeah. That's actually a huge problem at my current job. I work for a coffee company, and we deliver locally, and we have some female delivery drivers because who the fuck cares? If you can do the job, you can do the job. Yeah. But what she encounters when she goes out on the road is pretty disheartening. You know, a lot of men really devaluing her ability to do a job, to carry a box. And, you know, she's pretty brave for going out there and facing it every single day. I couldn't do it without flipping my lid, but, yeah. you know.
Yeah, that's actually what the interview in the first issue is centered very heartily on as well, is that kind of interaction. You're literally just doing your job for the day.
But how do we get them to stop? How do we get us to stop? Because, I mean, when this happens, I feel like pigs think that they're doing something good. Like, if you confront them, right, what do they say? They're like, well, I can't tell her she's pretty. I'm like, no, you can't. Or what? I mean, you know.
It's super hard, honestly, because you can totally see the wheels going sometimes when you're confronting somebody about it. You know, with somebody's like, oh, what's up, beautiful? I might be like, oh, what's up, nondescript? You know, I thought we were just like telling each other what we looked like right now. And then it turns into this whole thing where they're like, fuck you, bitch. And you're like, okay, you know, tell me how you really feel kind of thing. It's so hard because you do know that some people have grown up in environments that allowed them to think that what they're doing is okay. But I do honestly fully believe in my heart of hearts that if those people thought through the entire process of what they were doing, that they would realize that it's an uninvited interaction. It's not something, it's, you know, it's not like a guy standing on the corner says to men walking by as well, if they're heterosexual, you know, what's up, handsome, or whatever. They're not just doling out
compliments,
you know, compliments to whoever walks by. It's a very targeted thing, and it honestly is a little bit of like a power thing too, or not a little bit, like it's definitely a power thing, where somebody sees you and perceives the ability to kind of like master a situation, what they think is a situation. And then all of a sudden it becomes a super aggressive, tense moment when you push back against it. It's super weird, actually.
Yeah, and then that's when they snap into, fuck you. Yeah, what are you, some sort of, like, fuck you. What are you talking about? You can't
take a compliment. Or like,
yeah. I will say, there's a rare occasion that I get an apology.
Yes.
I don't know if it's sincere, but...
I've gotten an apology before. Honestly, I feel like I've taken every tack under the sun about it. Mm-hmm. I've screamed at people. I've said, you know, what if your mother was talked to this way on the street? I've tried to, like, show them how their own behavior was affecting me, and I get a lot of different responses.
I don't think it's the same, but I get in a lot of physical altercations riding and don't tolerate like ignorance on the street, and again, a lot of, it turns out almost awful every time. And you know, but I'm like a big guy and will hit someone with a chain if I need to, and I just feel like that's not a place people should ever have to feel like they need to go to on one side. Yeah. And I can't imagine like seeing someone who is 150 pounds bigger than me, who was like, the fear. I just feel like I've gotten into fights with dudes who were gigantic, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to get the fucking crap shit and kicked out of me now. But that's just gotta be, you know, on the back of everyone's minds every time these conversations happen. And it and if you do feel empowered to confront, how do you handle that? Like intimidation, constant intimidation.
I think the interview with Deandra, she touches on it pretty concisely when she talks about confronting those comments that she receives when she walks into a messenger center or a lobby, and she says, it takes all of my courage to explain to someone why they're fucked up and make my voice not shake. It's not easy at all. There's been times when I've thrown myself into potentially really shitty situations to prove a point. I've been very lucky. Nothing's ever happened to me, and I've been able to unleash my anger onto the world, but
yeah, same. You know. It's always a little bit of a gamble. And at this point, I feel most of the time like I can handle myself and I just kind of go for it. I've definitely had scary situations before. most notably with a private carting company, like a garbage, a private garbage truck, that swerved across a ton of lanes at like 2 a.m. one time to try and like talk about my body. The guy, the guys in the back to try and talk about my body, and they jumped off the truck. And honestly, like, I totally like screamed at them, took pictures of the truck, and emailed the pictures to the company, and the company was so supportive and got back to me and was just like, that is so unacceptable. Like, I talked to the owner, I talked to the manager. They called me literally when they opened the next morning. So there's that kind of thing. Literally, you know, one of the things about living in the age of the smartphone and of the recordable device, and we're being watched, we can watch back. And that's, you know, an exciting thing and a really helpful tool. You know, there's been times where I've just silently taken a dude's picture when he's misbehaving towards me. And he's just like, what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I don't need to tell you, actually, you know.
Do whatever you want.
It's none of your business. Yeah. My photo now. Yeah.
That's a really good point. And that maybe we need, like, is there a central database that we can start an offender database of these things?
There's there's a couple of Instagram accounts that kind of focus on that kind of thing.
Nice.
People can submit whatever photo they want of someone who catcalled them, and it just gets posted. I mean, you know.
That's so awesome. I haven't seen them yet.
I'll link you later.
I want to talk about the watch back thing in a minute, because there was a particular situation that I found myself in that I didn't know what to do, and I need some advice on how to handle it. It's made some sleepless nights for me. But I want to talk about fear for a second first, because I loved the element and the palpability of the fear in this zine. I just felt like it really touched on it from the beginning with the bike messenger, Deandra.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was talking about her voice shaking, that was very powerful, but also all the way through the zine and this situation, which I did not think was real. I mean, I sort of like figured it could be real, but it just seems so heavy. This catcalling at the night, and then this woman who like follows this guy back to his mother's apartment and like snitches on him to his mother. Like, I think this fucking scene with situation was great. That's a real situation.
That's a total Jolene story. She's, you know, one of my teammates, and she's just such a badass, tough person.
Holy fuck, Jolene.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
I have gotten in some bad situations in my life, but that situation where she was just like middle of the night, this dude's following her. She's like close to home, right? So like she's got nowhere. She this guy's like following her home. Nobody's gonna know where she lives.
Yeah.
And she followed him to his home. And basically, like, told the guy's mother, like, your son is a piece of crap. That takes some fucking gut. Like,
it totally does.
Whoa. That the fear, like, I just can't imagine, you know, how difficult that must have been on so many levels, so many different things, you know.
Sometimes you're just fed up. I mean,
yeah, sometimes
I think we've all had
that
moment where we've really done the drastic thing.
Absolutely. Actually, you know, there's another instance. I could tell these stories for days, quite honestly. But there was another instance, maybe 3 or 4 a.m. one evening on Fifth Avenue in Park Slope or South Slope. And luckily, I had Jolene with me, and I had a couple other friends not too far away, maybe half a block away. But a guy started trying to talk to us, and me and Jolene literally stood on either side of him and started talking at him simultaneously about what was wrong. And he got so overwhelmed, I thought he was going to blow a gasket. It was just, I mean, it was super satisfying for us. And I don't know that that's the best approach. I don't think that he probably just walked away from the situation feeling like, okay, two crazy women just got super crazy on me tonight. But there has to be some kind of outlet for us to be able to like express how we're feeling about the situation. And hopefully even with that incident, like make that person think twice before they approach somebody randomly on the street that late, that's smaller than them. And that's, you know, not going to feel good about the interaction.
I feel like, I know it's not the right approach to all this situation, but I feel like this is an opportunity to tell Americans that I can see young women frustrated with the situation, not able to get access to any ideology or like literature or the zine to like help them, empower them to know that they can combat this, or like the physical necessities that it takes to combat. Like mace is illegal in the state, you know, in the city, in this state. And even so, like mace doesn't even do that. You got to get fucking bear mace, you know, like bear mace is really hard to get. You got to fucking send away to Canada for that shit. You can't have brass knuckles. I mean, there's just so many other things, but I feel like that's one of the reasons why young women might be interested in like a group like Islamic State or something like that, because, you know, here is supposedly like desexual. Obviously not. Obviously Islamic State's fucked up, but like, you know, it's the idea that you're not going to have to interact with people who are commenting on your body because your religion tells you to live by this code that tells you to cover it up constantly. So sex is taken out of a daily conversation. Although obviously it's not, because like sexual slavery is pervasive and women aren't allowed to fucking drive on their own. And it's just a massive on the other side, on a different direction. But like, I can see why people get frustrated with the situation they're thrown into. Well, maybe we should, yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, please cut me off. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I want to add a personal perspective from that. And I mean, we've talked about this in our zine meetings. It took a very, very long time to unlearn that my value is not in my appearance. I remember being younger and sort of thinking towards the future, like, man, one day I will not be attractive enough to be catcalled, and that day will suck. And I had to unlearn that and realize that my value was not in my physicality.
Man, totally.
Yeah, and that's a really sad truth, I think, for a lot of young women.
Oh, I mean, I feel like mic drop.
Sorry. Moment. No, seriously. Like, I couldn't really have said what to that say better. After that.
I just think that it's so hard for this concept to get through on so many levels. It, like, attacking men, that sounds like a blast. I wish we could do that all day and like just beat these dudes up and then it would stop. And even if they don't stop, like, it's empowering to women to be able to take that, you know, baseball bat shit and fucking make another level on that. You know, so like, maybe we can't get them to stop, but at least make women feel better on that other front. All right, here's a particular situation, right? Christine, my partner, and I are driving up Flushing Avenue, I think it was, and we like go under this like underpass, and we're coming out from underneath this underpass, and it's like nowhere to really stop exactly. So that's partly why this was a challenging moment. And these two women were walking one way, and this guy turns around, which I assume was just to watch these two women walk. Mm-hmm. But then he pulls out his phone and starts recording them. And so, and like, he does it what feels like for 5 minutes, but obviously we were driving by, it like all happened in the blink of an eye. Quick, you know, it was long enough for Christine to also see this, and I was like drawing her attention to it, and she saw it, and she's like, what the fuck is he doing? And he recorded these people, we slowed down enough to see that he recorded them walking like a block and a half, must have been at least 45 seconds and maybe more, but we drove on. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what, I mean, I feel like this, I've never seen anything like that where people are being recorded.
I've seen that quite a bit. Two situations that I could speak to. Us and a bunch of our female friends went out to a bar.
Oh my God, this is a really good story.
That happened, and we caught it, and instantly we surrounded this fellow and said, open your phone, I want to watch you delete it right now.
It's actually our friend Caitlin. So
not who took the pictures, not your friend Caitlin.
No, no, she was film. She kind of took charge of the situation. So there's actually a group of 10 of us that hang out and are in our group texts that talk constantly. So beyond the four of us that are in the zine, there's actually this group of 10 women that we constantly share our days with each other and our experiences literally all throughout the day. And it's really awesome. It's actually super supportive and a very welcome feature of my life. But we were all out together. We try to get together, all of us, you know, maybe once every other month if we can or so. And we went out to a bar. We're playing air hockey, and we were all surrounding the tables, one-on-one, surrounding the table, just all getting excited and drinking. And you can hear a guy kind of mumbling behind us to his friend. And then he reaches his arm, even over me, who's pretty tall. He reaches over us with his flash still on his cell phone to take a picture of all of us at once. And the turn of heads, you could have heard like a pin drop, I feel like, for a moment. We were all just kind of like, what the fuck? Our friend Caitlin goes over to him and is just, she goes, pull out your phone. And he goes, whoa. He's clearly not expecting to be addressed whatsoever. He pulls out his phone. There's a picture.
He pulled it out.
Yeah, he pulled it out. There's a picture of a woman on the phone lock screen or whatever. She's like, is that your girlfriend? You know? It's and he's just like, yeah, you know. And she's like, okay, well, if you don't open your phone right now, show us the photo you just took and show us that you've deleted it. We're going to find your girlfriend and, you know,
wow,
tell her what you're up to tonight.
Caitlin.
I was just like, bravo, so man.
Yeah.
She's so badass. But it's that kind of thing. Mm. You can't go out and have a bar night with your buddies. without that kind of shenanigans. Mm-hmm.
And the confrontation is gut-wrenching. You know, I'm okay with getting the shit kicked out of me and having my face slammed into rails, but that you can't keep doing it. It's just like there's got to be an end to that at one point. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's life-threatening getting beaten up. It's life-threatening. It's not just like, oh, you'll heal. You can get killed getting beaten up, especially by someone who weighs 100 pounds more than you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is the confrontation is difficult. The fight is difficult. The legal implications are difficult. There's like all these levels of terror involved in it. And I just, you know, there's got to be something to do. I feel like your answer, Emily, of like taking pictures of these people, logging them, like confronting them on that level, intimidating them on that level is a really good solution. I feel like also just be like talking to them, be like, you have any idea the implications of your actions? Like, mm-hmm. do you know, but I also, we're dealing with tiny Trumps everywhere. They have no reason.
Yeah, it's like having to show a toddler how their behavior is affecting other people around them by like showing them the behavior in a literal sense.
Yeah.
So showing them how uncomfortable it is to be recorded or to be watched or what have you, might give them a little bit of a pause the next time they try and cause something.
That's really good.
Or you could just smash the phone. Which I did one time when
I don't have the nerve for it, but maybe one day.
That's awesome. Maybe we shouldn't tell that story.
We won't tell the story.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for getting down on this episode. I really appreciate it. This is one of the most incredible zines I've ever read. You can go holler at Bitch Squad Zine on Instagram. That is the name of the zine. I'm not adding my own ideas to this. And it's on Facebook, / Planet BS Zine.
Exactly.
Is that the best place to holler at y'all? Like, what's the best place to holler at y'all?
Actually, currently, because our Instagram, we kind of show progress of new zine pages and make announcements that way, and accept kind of DM asks about...
DMS?
DM ask, like, okay. Direct message asks. Yeah, not DMS.
DMS is going to sponsor the next. I'll cut that out. Don't
exactly.
worry.
Exactly. No. No, but, you know, direct message asks are most frequently come through our Instagram account. So it's become kind of the more prolific platform for people to reach us at the moment.
So @ Bitch Squad Zine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get down. Here's another band that Alyssa suggested we listen to today, a band that I was not familiar with, actually, and I'm really happy that she suggested them to us. Here's Cloud Rat. You can go check them out at cloudrat.bandcamp.com. Get down. Here's a band that Alyssa suggested that we listen to. It's from Oakland. Again, this is a band from the West Coast. I'm not sure if Alyssa is trying to get us to move there, but they apparently have some incredible bands. So here is Composite. You can check them out at compositeoakland.bandcamp.com. And yeah, Composite. Get down. All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank everyone for tuning in every single fucking week. Every Wednesday, we have a brand new episode up at dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. You can go there. You can find our new episode. You can hit us up on the merch store. You can donate if you have money to donate. Or you can just download some free shit because it's always free. Go on iTunes, rate it if you dig it or hate it or whatever the fuck. But it's kind of fucked up because no one really rates it. So don't hate it. Actually, that's kind of fucked up. But spread the word. Do whatever you can do to help us get this fucking podcast going. Let people know that we are doing it and representing the underground every day here in Dispatch with the Underground. I want to send a huge thank you out to Emily and Alyssa for coming over to the studio here in Queens. Talking about these these issues and all of the gut-wrenching, amazing, talented, beautiful, brilliant art that they make in Planet Bitch Squad. Their zine really, really, truly is one of the favorite pieces of literature that exist in this household. Between Christine and I, my partner and I, we both deeply love this zine. I've read it a number of times, and I think it's just insightful every time I read it. So all power to them. Can't wait to see the next issue, and hope y'all take time out of your busy schedule to go check out what they are doing. You can hit them up on Instagram. That's the best way to holler at them, at Bitch Squad Zine on Instagram, or on Facebook at /PlanetBSZine. So tons of way to get a hold of them. Check out all the incredible stuff they do. You can see some new pages of the new zines that they're putting up by checking them out on Instagram. And while you're there, you can holler at us, because Dispatches is now on Instagram. You can holler at me at Joey Steele NYC if you're so inclined. You can see what antics we're up to there. We're posting a lot of pictures that I haven't had a chance to post before. So hope you all dig it. So thank you all for getting down. Deepest thoughts and hearts go out to all the incredible people we've lost in the recent past, especially Eric Peterson, who just passed away and who was the best of the best. And in that loss, I hope the rest of us understand what a huge void has been left in this scene and in this culture, and that we need to step up and hopefully do a tiny bit of the justice that he's been able to perform in his career. So I'm sorry for your loss, Denise, and hopefully the rest of us are inspired to lift the underground up a little bit more and try to catch up with Eric Peterson. So hope you all dig it. Get down.